I'm here with Dr. Nicola Mason, Associate Professor of Music Education in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction. She's working on a research project with her partner, Dr. Christine Carucci, Associate Professor of Music Education in the Department of Music and Coordinator of the Graduate Music Education Program at EKU. Dr. Mason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Samantha.
So tell me about your research. You're looking into how children are taught music in K through 5?
Absolutely, yes, that's correct.
What aspects of that are you looking into?
Well, you know, we've all had experiences with music in the elementary classroom. Music is a very powerful teaching tool. And we're trying to document exactly how elementary teachers use music as a teaching tool. There is some current research in the field, but we're trying to do something a little bit unique. We're doing quantitative and qualitative research to document how music is used in our current education system. And that would be from kindergarten through fifth grade.
I'm remembering recorders and cymbals and tambourines.
That's right. And that's probably a memory you have from music class. Mm-hmm. And those are very important. We certainly aren't trying to advocate away from having a music teacher, a certified music teacher in the elementary schools, because that's very important. But what we're trying to look at is how the general elementary teacher is using music. So, for example, I'll ask you a question. How did you learn your ABC?
I sang them.
You did, right. Yeah. Do you know the melody to your ABCs? What melody you use?
It's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, right?
It is, exactly. And that's amazing that you know that, because a lot of people don't make that connection. But yeah, so very powerful. And I often speak to adults who still sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in their heads when they're trying to figure out their ABCs. Mm-hmm. But we have so many examples of how songs are used to remember facts, how music is used as transition activities, as behavioral management, just in the general elementary classroom. So we're trying to document that in our research.
So you said qualitative and quantitative. How do you do that kind of research with like behavioral issues? How does that work?
Good question. So the quantitative is a survey. And so we're going to be asking a lot of elementary teachers how they use music. And so these are questions that prompt them to indicate what instruments they have, what visual aspects they have in their classroom, whether it's posters, whether they're using technology, musical technology, because that is a resource that we didn't see in the classroom 10, 15 years ago. We're going to see whether they use songs and movements and dances and things like that. The qualitative part is the interviews with the teachers one-on-one, and then the observations of teachers in their natural setting.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teachers don't realize how often they use music, so we will be setting up cameras in their classroom and observing them in a very structured way, but doing what they do naturally.
So who are you going to be talking to? Are you just looking at teachers in Kentucky?
Yeah. So initially, our pilot study will just be Kentucky teachers, and hopefully we'll be expanding past that. The grant that we received is just for Kentucky teachers. So we'll be sending out a survey in the fall. We're currently analyzing data from our pilot study, but we'll be sending out the complete survey in the fall to all elementary teachers in the state of Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge database. Yeah. And then we'll be randomly selecting teachers from their participation in the survey to observe them in their classrooms. So that could take us as far west, as western Kentucky. We could go east Kentucky, central. Hopefully we get to observe all around Kentucky to get a really good idea of how teachers are using music as a teaching tool.
You said that professional development is one of the goals. Is that how you hope your research will be put into practice?
Yes, absolutely. Professional development, ongoing professional development is very common if you are a teacher. You're going to attend many, many hours of professional development in a variety of areas. Obviously, content specific, so, language arts, math, reading, writing, behavioral management. But if we can show how common it is to use music as a teaching tool, then we can really be advocates for powerful, intentional music professional development opportunities. We have a lot of professional development opportunities for our music teachers, but not as many for our elementary teachers. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that organizations like the American Offshore Vac Association that has funded this grant will start considering elementary teachers as their target audience for professional development opportunities.
What are some of the specific ways that you already know about that teachers maybe aren't using music, but they could be in the classroom?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of technology resources out there. I think teachers are afraid to explore improvisation and composition with students, but this is a very effective tool for teaching. So, for example, I'll take an example of teachers that have done these sorts of activities, taking the melody of an existing song and having students compose their own lyrics, using perhaps content from social studies or a math equation or something like that.
A math song, I like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, a math song. I wish I had done more math songs. Maybe I'd be better at math. But using those kinds of techniques, when students do something like that, when they're composing, they're making it their own. So instead of them being sort of static learners, they're being very experiential and they're participating in the learning process, not just absorbing, but really assimilating in a very experimental way. And the same is true with improvisation. Improvisation skills are learned skills, and they're not just isolated to music. But by exploring improvisation through music, we can then directly translate that to improvisation in your daily lives. And I often ask my students, have you improvised today? And they usually say no. And I said, well, did you have to figure out where to park when there was no parking on campus on the first day of classes? What did you do, right? All sorts of improvisation. When when you only have limited ingredients for cooking, what do? You improvise. Mm-hmm. So the same is true with music. So perhaps improvisation, composition, providing those kinds of skills for teachers. And then also just revealing the significant impact of music in developing our listening skills.
Oh, we could all use better listening skills.
Right, exactly. And, I always talk about the difference between listening and hearing. Hearing being one of the senses, like sight and taste and touch. And hopefully most of our students have, good hearing, unless they have a hearing impairment. But listening is really making that connection between what you hear and what you know. Mm-hmm. And music is a great gateway to enhancing your listening skills. And students will take what they learn with that integrated music element and take it straight into every other content area, every class that they have after that. So it's a very powerful tool.
Dr. Mason, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Samantha.